Welcome to the podcast series, Interest Rates with Mates, with Colin, Todd, Sean, and Cass. Welcome everyone, episode number 13, happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Monday, isn't it?
It is Monday.
Good.
After all these short weeks,
I know.
Lucky number
13. So today we're going to be doing success stories. So more common than not, we come across people that come to us that have been elsewhere. We won't name any brokers or banks, but they come up to us saying, "Hey, we've tried here. What can you do to help?" And we sit and we have a look at the information. We go, "Yeah, I think we can make that work." So we're going to discuss or share some success stories of what we've done sort of, you know, in the past 2 years since we've opened that have sort of got the applications through the where they need to be. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important, isn't it, around why would clients engage us, you know, as a broker? For a lot of clients, they're dealing with maybe a bank directly. And, you know, like if we're honest, I mean, banks have one set of policies, one set of products. Normally don't give clients choice around other banks. And then for brokers, it comes down, I suppose, you know, how we're sort of set up as a business to assist our clients. So, I think it's important to talk about some of the success stories that we've had and what we've been able to do for our clients to help them achieve their dream.
Yeah, and as a whole, as a group, the industry knowledge that we've got collectively as well.
Definitely, yeah. Like banks are limited. Like each individual bank is limited to policy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, you know, I've come from being a one-man band, a one-man broker. It's always hard. Like, whereas in this environment that we're currently in, we're constantly workshopping deals with one another on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's important, actually, because, I mean, how many clients have we been able to help where one of the brokers here in the business has thought, oh, look, I don't know whether we can help that person, but then we've been able to get the deal done. So, so I think that's the importance of our business and what we're capable of being able to do.
Absolutely.
Who wants to start?
Todd, where you go?
Okay. As we were just talking about, one of, a really good success story that comes to mind for me is a self-employed scenario. This particular couple been operating a very, very healthy business for the last sort of 3 to 4 years, big growth year on year. As we all know, majority of banks out there traditionally will look at 2 years self-employed financials and either take the lowest of the latest year or average the 2 years. In this case, yeah, year on year was like 30, 40% growth. So they went to their bank, who they had all their business banking with, been with that bank for many years. And the lending manager basically said, yep, look, we have to average the 2 years. Therefore, you can't afford this property that you've just signed a contract for. They knew that they could easily afford it, like that they could easily afford the repayments. Their business was humming along. So anyway, they called us and, yeah, from the initial phone call, I said, look, I know what we need to do. We just need to look at a lender that is going to accept your latest year's financials in isolation. You know, there's about 5 or 6 lenders that will happily do that. So you do still have options. We were able to get that one placed very quickly, had them approved within the 14 days finance that they'd signed for their purchase contract. Really good outcome and really fast.
Cool. Awesome. Great outcome.
Yeah, no, that is good. Cash, do you want to go?
So mine is also a self-employed one. We seem to be doing a fair bit of these over the last few months as well, pretty much around the same reasons that Todd had his scenario. So mine was actually to do with an accountant's deck. So historically, accountants have always been quite reluctant to sign specific accountant's decks. This one that I did where the client had been established for a good couple of years and was looking to purchase a property. We literally just got a self-declaration from the client and also the accountant then signed off that they believed that the client could afford the repayments. We had to get that one ready for the client to go to auction. So we actually had that turned around within 2 business days and got the approval on Friday, ready to go to auction on the Saturday.
I feel like we need a bell.
You've got to love those auction turnaround times.
Yeah, that's right.
Good.
Yeah. And the one that I had was actually over Christmas, but it was one that I remember quite vividly because I was down in Brisbane with my wife actually on holidays or just having a couple of nights away, and it was New Year's Day of all days, and I took a phone call from a customer who was in tears basically because they were dealing with another business on the coast. And they've been dealing with them since start of November, last year. They had a contract signed. They had settlement due mid-January, and they thought they had plenty of time. They had her parents going guarantor. And yeah, long story cut short, the bank that the other business had used was running at around 28 days for a pickup. So when you've got a contract, obviously, generally you get a finance time frame of around 21 days. They had 28 days for finance. They still couldn't meet that time frame. Long story cut short, we took the phone call on the 1st of January, saw the clients the next night, and we're able to settle, change of banks, but we're able to settle with, I think it was a one-day settlement extension at the end. So, you know, so we're able to turn that around within around about two and a bit weeks over a fairly busy period, being Christmas as well. Obviously, banks aren't all that quick over that period. But that sort of just highlights, and we were talking about it at the start of today around the importance of having good relationships with our lenders as well. Like we've got, and look, because of our size, because of our volume, we do get the fast lane with a lot of lenders, and we do have really tight relationships, or what I would call tight relationships, with a number of our lenders as well. So to ask for a favour when we really need it, in that particular case there, to help a customer buy, it was actually their first home as well, so very, you know, like an emotional journey for them. We're able to sort of meet that deadline and keep everyone happy, so...
It's also very beneficial, the access that we have to those senior credit managers. So, you know, we were just talking about it before as well. Like a number of lenders give us access, direct phone call, direct email access to senior credit managers at each of the banks. So if we've got any scenarios that are a little bit outside the box and we might need an exception to policy signed off, we can get that signed off before we actually lodge the application to the bank. So that just gives us that confidence and the client that confidence that everything else stacks up. This little aspect of your application is a little bit outside the box, but hey, we've got confirmation that they're happy to accept that, and then your application will just be based off the rest of, you know, the stuff that we know already passes and meets that bank policy.
Yeah.
And quite frequently as well, we've got business development managers that are coming into our office as well for a couple of hours per week, and that's where we'll run through scenarios as well and get their take on it.
That's a good point, Sean. Yeah, we do. We have... relationship managers sit in the office, and they're there, you know, quite frequently. These are the lenders that we have, you know, relatively tight relationships with as well, and they're able to get stuff done there on the spot for us as well. So it just highlights the importance of, you know, I suppose, the relationships we've got with banks, but also the journey that we can help customers with their finance.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah.
And then I've got two stories I might add in there.
You're cheating, eh? Yeah, it's one.
I've got one.
I've got a self-employed in PAYG, so self-employed, so a lovely gentleman that had been through a contract of sale, self-employed, contract fell through and he had lost about $300,000, so he couldn't get that back. So he had a bit of a sale taste, so he came to us to say, hey, look, I've got another contract of sale, can you make it work? And his scenario was a little bit different. And we were able to get it done with just one pay slip and an accountant's letter to verify, and that was all that was needed. And he was quite shocked that that was, you know, not done in the first place with the previous person that had been looking after him. So he was super happy. So great success story for him. Yeah. And then another one I had a couple of weeks ago, this is just with the new super change. I had a policeman that came to see me, and he had seen someone about his borrowing capacity and it wasn't quite there. And because of that super change, I think I was able to get an extra $45,000 in borrowing capacity. And then he signed a contract of sale about 2 days later. So.
Right.
Some really good things happening, yeah.
And I suppose the other thing that none of us have highlighted today as such, but is the mortgage insurance. What I've seen just recently, customers that are in that mortgage insurance space where they've got less than 20% deposit, part of our process is we'll always go through and have a look at what the mortgage insurance calculation is and what their customer's going to end up paying as part of their loan setup. What I've found is that you know, by changing from one bank to the next in our recommendation as well, which we've done a number of times over the past sort of few months, customers will save sometimes thousands of dollars on the mortgage insurance as well. So I think it's really important to for customers, you know, for our listeners to know that if they are speaking to a bank about mortgage insurance, every bank has a different relationship with their mortgage insurer and are charged different premiums of mortgage insurance depending on what you're borrowing. So it's really important that I think we highlight that, because customers might be able to save thousands of dollars, which might mean that they can buy the property sooner than rather waiting, you know, 3 or 4 months or 6 months, depending, you know, down the track, to save that extra bit of money to go towards their deposit so they can meet the maximum loan to value ratios.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
I guess the other one that I had was around credit scoring. And obviously, as most people are aware, credit scoring is a massive thing within the industry now. And I've had a couple of clients that I've put through a particular lender where we've had the credit score has been quite low. And this particular lender doesn't actually look at their credit score. So as long as their repayment history has been good, conduct's been good, and, you know, generally if it's a sub 80% LVR, we can usually get it through with that lender. And it's still on prime rate, so you're not looking at higher interest rates or risk fees and things like that. So that's definitely something else to consider as well.
And just so our listeners understand too, like it's not necessarily – you can have a poor credit score not by not missing any repayments. Like
correct.
Your payments could be made on time. You could have great credit history, but sometimes like if you go shopping for a car loan and you make 3 or 4 applications within a few days, the algorithms in the credit – reporting model think that you're in hardship and think you're struggling, think that you've been declined for all those car loans. That's why you keep trying.
Yeah.
Poor credit score isn't necessarily due to missed repayments and stuff.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Cass is talking about. So sometimes if that's happened, we still have options for you.
Absolutely.
It's amazing you talk about algorithms. Like more of the banks are going into that digital space now. I mean, how many times do the algorithms get it wrong?
Yeah.
And then we have to manually get it overturned, like decisions overturned.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and that's another big talking point. We might not go through that today. but, you know, for our listeners to know that if you're knocked back somewhere else, it doesn't mean that the door's closed everywhere.
You just have to
reach out, give us a call, have a chat with us. And like we've said today, we've got plenty of success stories and you might be the next.
Yeah, and tap into the knowledge as well.
And that's why we've got over 400 Google reviews in under 2 years as well, because it's just a testament to those success stories and the people that have enjoyed the process that we do here.
Absolutely.
Success.
Success.
We love it.
Success, Bruce. Success.
Thank you. We will see you next week, episode 14. See you then. Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. All of these episodes are available to download for free wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, take care.